Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back, George Norrie, along with Stefan Schwartz, as we talk about the 8 laws of change. You have talked about, Stefan, that you believe the individual has the power to change the course of history. How does that happen?
Well, again, I need to also stress, George, you know, I am a data person. I'm not a theoretician. I'm not a speculator. Everything I talk to you about is just based on experimental data.
Right.
So the issue is, can an individual who has no particular power or money or official position, can they change history? And the answer is yes. Now, the question is, how do they do it? And the answer to that is, it has to do with when you get, this is how consciousness and social transformation interact. When 10% of any cohort, whether it's a church group, a school group, a neighborhood group, or a nation, when 10% shift in their consciousness, then the whole cohort, whatever it is, has to accommodate that shift, and I'll give you specific examples of that. If you look at, for instance, when you and I were boys, people like Martin Luther King would say Negro. Nobody says that anymore. Why not? What happened? Did somebody pass a law that you couldn't say it? No. What happened was that a group of people, not anything over 10%, how do we know it's over 10%? Because Rensselaer Polytech did a bunch of research on this and published their research findings and found that when 10% of any group shift in consciousness, everybody shifts with it. Or, to give you another one, when did gay become LGBTQ or LGBT and then LGBTQ?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody pass a law? No. What happened was individuals made a choice. And so the classic example of this is Gandhi. Gandhi got independence for India without a war. I mean, we didn't do that. Nobody did it. How did he do that? How did he get independence from Great Britain when India was their most prized colonial possession without a war? And the answer to the question was asked of Gandhi. And a reporter went up and asked him just before he was assassinated, 1948, and said, you know, how did you force the British to leave India? And Gandhi's answer was, it's not what we did that mattered, although that mattered. It's not what we said that mattered, although that mattered. It was the nature of our character, our beingness, that caused the British to choose to leave India. Not force, choose. And if you look at what is going on right now, you can see in the United States, you can see it with the anti-vaxxer business. I mean, we know, for instance, that 319,000 people died who would not otherwise have died had they been vaccinated. And yet, how were we able, how was a small group of leaders able to implant in people's minds the idea that vaccinations were bad? Now, I mean, it's quite weird if you think about it, because to go to public school in the United States, in any state in the Union, you have to get a whole bunch, your child has to get a whole bunch of vaccinations, otherwise they can't go. But for some reason, the COVID vaccine and the COVID pandemic was manipulated and became politicized. And the thing that really concerns me about the United States right now is the weaponization of misinformation, because the fact that when you get 10%, you can cause change, it doesn't mean good change. It just means change. And so what's happened in this country is we have more than 10%, actually about a third, who have developed an attitude about this pandemic that has caused them to make choices which have resulted in, you know, over a million people have died, and the estimate is from the CDC that 319,000 of them wouldn't have died had they been properly vaccinated. That's an example of how ordinary individuals, because the key is culture is created by consensus. You know, in every country, if you were, for instance, flying from here to Vancouver, and you look down, you wouldn't see anywhere that there was a big line or something, and yet no Canadian 50 feet from the border would think of himself as an American, and no American 50 feet from the border would think of himself as a Canadian. Why is that? It's because individuals, when they make the same choice about what food to eat, how to prepare it, what sports to follow, you know, to pick anything you like, they create culture. And when you get a group of people to passionately believe something and act on it, then they can cause change. And the real issue to me is, are we going to cause change to promote well-being, or are we going to turn America into an anocracy? And I don't know the answer to that.
Do you think social networking is a good thing?
I think that, you know, I'm pausing because that is not an easy question. I would say to you, we need to develop a way in which information can be
dispersed,
can be proven to be accurate. The thing that I am most concerned about is the weaponization of disinformation. About all kinds of disinformation.
See, in the old days, Stefan, we trusted Walter Cronkite. We trusted those broadcasters.
Yes, but we didn't have the internet then. Now, anybody sitting in his garage at his computer or whatever can start something up which gets picked up and goes viral, and thousands or millions of people may believe it. And when they believe it, they act on it. And when they act on it, then the whole culture has got to accommodate to that. And that's what's going on in this country right now. And I think that is the central issue that we need to face, because we are doing things. We have practices, cultural practices, everything from racism to guns, to, you know, pick whatever you like, in which small minority groups who hold very strong feelings are able to shape the whole culture. And that's the power of the individual. So when I would leave your listeners with this thought, this is is how you do it. Every day, you make hundreds of little choices. You buy the toothpaste you buy. You buy the cat food you buy, the dog food. You the gas you buy, all those little things. Every one of those is a vote. And if you commit yourself that every choice you make, to the best of your understanding, will be the of the options available to you, will be the most compassionate, life-affirming, and fostering of well-being, as you understand that, and you tell 10 people that you're doing this and invite them to do it with you and ask 10 of their friends, I will tell you, and absolutely it's provable, that the listenership of Coast to Coast of itself has the ability to change the course of the November election.
That's intriguing. It's powerful too, Stefan, isn't it?
It is very powerful. You see it happen. I mean, we watch it, but we don't see it. And the reason is, until you understand that consciousness is causal and fundamental, and that all consciousness is interconnected and interdependent, until you get that and you realize that fostering well-being is the way in which you create well-being, and therefore you make those kinds of choices, until you get that, you don't really understand, I think, what's going on. And so you feel that you're lost, that you have no power, that you're being picked on, that nobody understands, whatever. All of those negative emotions arise because people do not realize that a small group of people who are committed to something strong and who act on it in all of their choices can produce extraordinary changes.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you talk about the eight laws of change, buzz through them very quickly for us before we go to calls.
Okay. Yes, because these eight laws, I did not invent them. What I did was 25 years worth of research about how social transformations occurred, and I looked at hundreds of transformations. And this is what came out. I noticed that those which were successful, particularly if they fostered well-being, this is how they did it. First law, the individuals individually and as a group collectively must share a common intention. Now, everybody's got to get on board. And you know, if you've ever been in a committee, getting everybody on board to the same intention is not easy. Second law, the individuals and the group may have goals, but they may not have cherished outcomes. The abolitionists taught me this. I'm reading their diaries. They would say things like, slavery is a moral evil, and I don't know how it's going to end, but I'm going to commit my life to seeing that it ends in some way. So you don't have a cherished outcome that it has to be a certain way, but you have a goal that slavery must end. The same thing, by the way, with the suffragettes. Third law, the individuals in the group must accept that their goals may not be reached in their lifetime and be okay with this. Again, both the suffragettes and the abolitionists taught me that. Fourth law, the individuals in the group must accept that they may not get either credit or acknowledgement for what they've done and be authentically okay with this. That's a big issue because people like to get credit. They like their egos to get rewarded. And so in order to do this successfully, you have to put that aside. Fifth law, each person in the group, regardless of gender, religion, race, or culture, must enjoy fundamental equality even as the various roles in the hierarchy of the effort are respected. That's very important. And when movements don't succeed, what you find out is it's because they did not work with that law properly. Sixth law. The individuals in the group must forswear violence in word, act, or thought. Now, this was the hard one for me because back in the civil rights period, in the late 50s, early 60s, when I would go to demonstrations and see women being attacked by dogs, I mean, I did not have nonviolent responses.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you got to do. That's what Gandhi, that's the point he made. Sixth law, the individuals in the group, Seventh law, the individuals in the group and the group itself must make their private selves consistent with their public postures. I learned this from Benjamin Franklin. When Benjamin Franklin was sent over to France to get the money to finance the revolution, it was all financed through his personal bank account, he got a letter from a woman who said, I think your valet is a spy who's informing on you. And Franklin wrote back and said to her, inasmuch as I never say anything in private that I would not scruple to say in public, if in all other respects he was a good valet, as he is, I don't care.
I don't care? Interesting.
I don't care, because everything he said privately was his private self and his public self.
Was the same.
The same. I mean, you look at all the ministers you and I have known or the political leaders who talk about, you know, very righteous stuff, and then it turns out, you know, what they're doing on the back is different. Seventh law, the individuals in the group and the group itself must make their... Oh, I said that one. Eighth law, the individuals in the group and the group collectively must always act from the beingness of life-affirming integrity. That's Gandhi's point. When they ask him, how did you do it? He said, it wasn't what we did, it wasn't what we said, it was who we were, the nature of our character, and we were committed to nonviolent, life-affirming well-being.
Do Do you think that nonviolent mentality would work in any case?
You mean, is there a situation where it wouldn't work?
I mean, let's look at the Ukraine situation for a moment. If they just had allowed Russia to move on in, what would have happened?
Oh, no. That, when, you know, they asked Gandhi that same question, and they said, well, you know, what would you do? He said, well, if I were attacked by a lion, I would defend myself.
So you can't just stand idly by.
And there are situations where, when you are violently attacked, you have to respond. But what he's talking about is what Martin Luther King did, for instance, with civil rights. I mean, you and I both remember that. You know, King's I Have a Dream speech and all those nonviolent demonstrations that he organized, that he wasn't being violently attacked in that kind of way. So, no, you don't just stand by and get killed. But what you do is you make choices that support well-being, and if enough people do that, then violent things often don't even happen.
And maybe they could have done things non-violently, of course, in the beginning with Russia and worked something out.
Oh, yes. Well, let me tell you, the turning point of this whole business occurred back in, I think it was 1993, when the Ukrainians gave back to Russia 140 nuclear weapons. Believe me, if
right.
they had kept those nuclear weapons, the Russians would not be attacking them.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Kurt Woodsmith. You remember me from such TV comedies as That 70s Show and That 90s Show on Netflix. I'll never forget the words that my grandfather said just before he kicked the bucket. He said, "Watch how far I can kick this bucket." People ask me where I get my dad jokes from. I tell them to listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast. Listen to Daily Dad Jokes every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.